Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The General Banter Podcast with Colin Jettis.
Right about now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to get yourself and your soul together.
This man will make your liver quiver. This man will make your bladder splatter. Let's all welcome the world's godfather of soul.
Colin Jettis.
It's Gettis, actually.
Jettis.
Gettis.
Jettis. Jettis. Jettis.
Fuck you. Morning, everybody. What's happening? Welcome to the General Banter Podcast with me, Colin Gettis. Would you believe it? We're actually recording this on time today. We? I mean me. It is fucking 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm in my little office that I've made for myself. I'm wearing a fucking beanie and like 2 jumpers. And if I could put 2 pairs of shoes on, I would. Because why? Because of course it's now September. Which means the beautiful summer is over, and now I'm sitting here freezing my dick off in an office. Should I put, like, heating on or something? Probably. But then that would involve walking in there and hitting a button. Do you know what I'm saying? So here we are. Here's the podcast. Let me plug some dates before I move on to talk about other dates that I've completed. These are important, guys. These are super important. 23rd of September. We have Lavery's Comedy Club, as usual. I'm always plugging it. Lavery's Comedy Club. We have a gig in the Belfast Belly. It's not even called Belly Laughs anymore. It used to be called Belly Laughs. Now it's just called the Belfast Comedy Festival. Where there's a load of acts coming over to Belfast to play in various venues. I wouldn't say it's like other types of festival where, you know, someone will do a series of gigs in one venue for like a week or a month or whatever. It's just people coming over doing one gig. Luckily, Lavery's is part of that movement. So on the first day of the festival, the 23rd, we actually have our Lavery's Comedy Club, where we're flying over to headline Chris Kent, who we've had at Lavery's Comedy Club several times. He's a friend of the club. Now he lives in London. He's been doing very well for himself recently. You know, he's been on that Comedy Central program, Stand Up Central. I think it was hosted by Russell Hard. Well, you know, has to be hosted by someone. So he's coming over off a fucking sellout run at the Fringe. How do I know it was sold out? Because I was at the Fringe and I went to go to his gig, and then he texts me saying, "Sorry, I forgot the reserve tickets for you. It's sold out." And this is in like midweek shitty weather when no one sells out. And I was like, "Well, fuck me." So he's coming over. He's a fucking genius. Check him out online. You'll see some of his older material, but he's a beast. So you should definitely come and see him. He's the type of guy, and people always say this, like, come see him before you have to pay loads of money. And I feel like that might be the case. You know, he's been coming to Lavery's a few times. I've got the feeling that he would come there just because, you know, he's gigged there before and we're fairly friendly. However, I would imagine it's just a matter of time before you go, "Chris, would you like to play Lavery's?" And he goes, "No, I'm actually just going to sell 200 tickets of my own in like the Black Box or something like that, or Mandela." And you go, "All right, fair enough." So he's coming over. Support is from Connor Keyes from Daly's Comedy Club in Oma there. So get over for that. There should be another couple of acts squeezing in there. We have another gig. Sort of, I don't know whether I should announce this or not. Don't know whether it's 100% in stone. But I had answered a question on the podcast like a couple of weeks ago from a guy. It was just an account, the Book Reserve on the Lisburn Road, which is a cafe slash bookshop. And the guy was like, oh, would you ever do a gig here? And I was like, you know, I said to him, I love doing weird gigs. So he got in touch with me saying that, seriously though, would you do a gig here? And I was like, well, yeah, let's fucking talk about it. What's the setup and whatever. So in the end, it's turned out there is a gig going ahead on the 26th of September, which is a Saturday. Open up, do I read the fucking details, you piece of shit? Fuck you, Steve Jobs. Right, just let this fucking poster open. So, as far as I know, unless anything terrible happens, there is gonna be a comedy night in the Book Reserve on the Lisburn Road. Now, a lot of people say to me, would you ever do a Lavery's at the weekend? And I say to them, yeah, I'll just go into probably one of the most popular bars in Belfast and say, hey, can we take your fucking nightclub away on a Saturday night? It's full of people. So it's not possible in Lavery's, but here's a weekend gig for you. There aren't many of them, but if you wanted to go to a weekend gig, this is one of them. Now, this is quite a sweet deal because they've called it the Cocktail Comedy Club. And it's at the Book Reserve on the up the Lisburn Road. Doors are at 8. Show is at 9. And it's me, Arma Khan, Kieran Bartlett, Shane Todd's emceeing. Bring your own booze, right? You can bring whatever you want. Now, it's 12 quid in, which is a bit dearer than normal comedy nights, but you do get to bring your own booze. So say you went to a comedy night, you and your girlfriend, and it was fucking 7 or 8 quid in. You're talking 14, 16 quid. And then you're buying fucking rounds all night. Oh, we had 6 drinks each. Mate, you're skint. So this is £12 each to get in. And it's just bring whatever booze you want. The reason they call it a cocktail comedy club is because you can bring just spirits. You just turn up with like vodka. And they have all the other shit to make cocktails with. So you can sit and watch the comedy and get chinned. Quite a cool event. I'm just waiting on confirmation back from the guy that's running it. But it should be a fun wee night, I think. If you could never make it to Lavery's, if the midweek is a problem for you, go to this thing. Sure enough, £12 in, but then you get the drink for the price of your own carryout instead of fucking $4.60 a pint or something. So there you go. Wee bit of excitement there. Of course, we had Lavery's Comedy Club last week where we had the General Banter podcast live. We have me, Shane Todd, Mickey Bartlett talking pure shit. Haven't uploaded that yet. I'm going to upload this podcast and then I'm going to upload the live one. And then I'm hopefully recording another one today, a wee bonus one, which I'll upload maybe towards the end of the week for all you fuckers who want to kill some time and work. Yeah, Lavery's Comedy Club. Cheers for everyone who came out to that last week. It's fucking sweet. We had Ray Bradshaw, who was over doing a wee bit of a tour. And I don't know who. He did very well. Lovely man. Very funny. I'd love to have him over properly, maybe to headline or something. Because someone else was basically running his little mini tour for him. He's doing like 4 or 5 gigs in Ireland. And he was over in Lavery's and he did support and he got paid a certain amount of money. And then he turned around, not my fault or his. He's just like, oh, I thought I was getting this amount of money for it. And I was like, bro, I hate to let you down, but you are at Lavery's Comedy Club on a Wednesday where it's 4 quid in if you have a student card. Even if it was that money that you're pointing at there doesn't exist, sir, to pay you, I'm afraid. So hopefully that got sorted out. Money always fucks comedy up. That's why it seems good crack at the time. You always have rows with people backstage. Where's my fucking money? Anyway, so that happened, right? Listen to this for fate, right? Not fate the car, but fate the whatever it is. Not fate. I don't know what the word is. Luck? I don't know. Who gives a shit? don't really know how to articulate either of those ideas. So we go to Lavery's Comedy Club. I'm sitting there like, oh, I don't know, everyone's drinking. Maureen's having a drink. I was like, fuck, should I drink? And I was like, nah. And I usually say, people are like, oh, do you ever drink at gigs? No, not usually. But at Lavery's, I'm like, yeah, I'll have a fucking drink. Once everything's sorted and everyone's gone on, I'm like, yeah, let's fucking drink, bitch. Some fucking Polish beer that makes you go blind. So we do the gig. All goes well. I'm like, oh, I'll have about two Red Bulls here. We do the live podcast. It's insane. Mickey just is like a fucking just wind up doll. Hilarious. It's over. Like, do you want to get some food or something? It's like, yeah, let's get food. I didn't really want to drink. So we go on to get some food afterwards, and then went back and stayed with girlfriend Maureen's sister. So I get up in the morning. Maureen has to go meet some of her friends. And I'm like, right, I'm going to jiu-jitsu here. So I meet the coach from the jiu-jitsu club, Damien. And he's telling me that basically he broke away from the club that he was at because he wanted to teach. They started Maeda Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in Belfast, which I've been part of for about a year, which got an affiliation with John Kavanagh, who's the coach of the likes of Conor McGregor and, you know, that whole camp down in Dublin. It's got this affiliation, so he would come up and do seminars and stuff on Jiu-Jitsu. But that Maeda Club is within Centaur Gym. Centaur, which is just off Core Market in Belfast. Beneath that is a big empty space where the gym used to be. So what's happening now is they're going to move the club down into this giant fucking floor where they're going to turn it into more or less a mixed martial arts club. Mainly jiu-jitsu probably, but going to throw in some striking classes and judo classes and fucking wrestling and whatever else. But it has now officially become SBG Belfast. So there's Straight Blast Gym Dublin, and now there's a Straight Blast Gym Belfast. So there you go. If you give that a like on Facebook, you know, you'll be able to go to fucking seminars with all these famous coaches. Now, we met up about that. Then I turned up to the class where there was probably about five or six guys, right? Two of them. Basically, this sounds like me talking some fucking weird karate shit. In jiu-jitsu, there's a couple of belts. You know what I mean? You go white belt, blue belt, purple belt, brown, black. And in between those belts, you kind of have to do about at least fucking 2 or 3 years. So, but under the SBG rules, the straight blast is boring as shit, but I'll tell you anyway. Under the SBG rules, they don't just go white belt, blue belt. Normally it goes white belt and you get a load of stripes and then you get a blue belt. And blue belt sort of means you're decent, you know what I mean? You have a few moves that are fucking killer. You know how to defend yourself really well. You're pretty tough. You're not going to tap just because someone fucking leaned on your neck or something. Most blue belts would fucking murder, you know, the average human. But SBG have, like, they go white belt. They have a white belt with a blue stripe. They have a blue belt with a white stripe, which is the one you get right before you just turn sort of blue belt. And I got one. I got a wee blue belt with a wee white stripe, didn't I? Which is about as high as my coach can promote you. But I think it just basically means, listen, you're not completely shit anymore. You're actually fairly decent. You're not quite as sharp as you should be for a blue belt, but I'll give you this fucking thing anyway. And I knew something was going on because, you know, if you do any other martial arts, you can do like fucking whatever you call that sort of karate where you just punch the air and then they let you break a fucking lollipop stick, which already has a fucking groove cut into it. You know, you go and do these things, you're like, oh, you punch the air in a leisure centre and then some cunt gives you, oh, there you go, mate, you're a green belt. Some made up shit. In jiu-jitsu, they just kind of, usually what happens is you train for a long time and then someone just kind of goes, whoever's in charge, whoever's like your head coach will be like, oh, here, you're ready to be a blue belt now, or a purple belt or whatever. So I go in and fucking do the class. We start rolling, as they call it, like just sparring, essentially. Just full, just out and out grappling, killing each other. We do that. And I just knew something was weird because I was rolling with this guy. And then the coach, Damien, jumped in. He's like, watch out, I'll jump in there. He jumps in, start rolling. He keeps going, what time for you to leave? And I was like, well, I have to leave in about 20 minutes. Right, okay. I roll with some other dude. And then he's like, right, swap over there. And he just kept throwing people at me to the point where I look round and like no one's really sparring with each other anymore. They're all just standing up, kind of waiting. And he's like, right, next. And then some other dude jumps in. Start rolling with him. And this went on for about fucking 45 minutes. To the point where I was about to barf. And I couldn't fucking feel my hands. Because I've been grabbing. Just gripping for so long. And just kept over and over again. And it did, to be fair, didn't get tapped. Didn't get tapped the whole fucking time. And then I rolled with the coach, Damien, again at the end. And he caught me in a fucking triangle. Because I was exhausted. And then he just, as I stood up, he sort of just turned around and walked over with a fucking, the wee belt. And I was like, oh, sweet, mate. I wish I had the power in my hand to fucking shake your hand and say thanks. But I'll just sit here and try and quell my vomit. So there you go. What I'm saying is, after that boring story of 15 minutes, is don't fuck with Gellis. Because he's now got a blue and white belt, whatever that means. Which, incidentally, doesn't fit. They're like, here's a wee belt, mate. You might need to cut that in half and put an extension in the middle there to get it around your fat body. X Factor Farmer Beauty revealed as a fraud. Oh, mate. I just seen this story. The shy farmer who dazzled the X Factor panel with her dazzling looks and incredible vocals is apparently exposed as a fraud. Here we go. Hannah Kilminster. Introducing Hannah Kilminster as one of our sensational lead vocalists and now pop. So she's actually been in stuff before. Well, so? What's wrong with that? She would get absolutely fucking tombstoned also. As a side note. As a wee side note. But here's the thing. What are you supposed to do? Like not sing your whole life and then just walk on the X Factor and sing? Huh? They didn't, you know, seriously played down her career last night by failing to mention the world tours and performances for Britain's Got Talent. Well, why? They think that's a fucking heads up, do they? What about the other guy who was like, yeah, I've worked with fucking loads of famous people. No one's fucking picking on that cunt. He's like, yeah, I was a backup singer for fucking everyone. Yeah, she is a healthy farmer's daughter, that one. Let me tell you something hilarious. I'm flicking around on this internet here because we got our internet in. Praise be to Allah. I just read a headline there. That's definitely a movie. This is me obsessed with internet now because we've got connection. Iraqi woman guns down ISIS commander as bloody revenge for making her a sex slave. There she is there with a belt-fed machine gun. Yeah, different part of the world over there. So, we get the internet in, the fella comes out, puts it in, leaves. Stupidest thing in the world BT could ever do. It's like... Is that my phone? Oh, you bastard. It's like... The guy comes out, puts the line in, and then all of the gear arrives separately, which is the fucking stupidest shit I've ever seen. Because, you know, if it's not going to work, then you're going to need the guy out again. Right? Why not just have the guy bring the gear? He fixes the fucking thing. You know what I'm saying? So stupid. So stupid. So... He puts the line in, the gear comes, we plug it in. Of course, the orange light's flashing. We're like, this isn't working. This is fucking bullshit. So, we ring up again, right? I have to ring India, and this is one of these stories that loads of comedians have done, probably, where you're like, oh, here we go again with the stereotypical has to ring India fucking joke, right? What can I tell you? He was fucking Indian. That wasn't the funny bit. So I ring up, of course, now, I don't give a fuck what accent you have. Just don't be retarded, which is what this guy was. I feel like he was just reading through the answers, and if you threw him a wee different question, he would just be fucked. So, I'm on the phone, right? And I'm like, hello, this basically got internet in, the orange light's flashing, it doesn't work. Okay, I'm going to have to do an accent here, aren't I? But he's like, okay, we're going to have to go through different sort of test. Okay, so he goes through all these tests. I felt like going, listen, the exact same problem happened to girlfriend Maureen's parents across the road, down the street a bit. It's the same fucking phone line. It's a shit phone line. That's where the internet's slow as shit. Okay, that's what I felt like saying, but he's like, we have to go through our tests, and all. He goes, is the wires connected to the BT hub and all this? By the way, it sounds like he's in a fucking, like a busy kitchen in a restaurant. That's what it sounds like. Things clanging about, people shouting at each other. Someone coming over speaking fucking Punjabi to him. Shouting at him. Like, that's, am I being racist? I'm not. I'm just telling you a fucking story. So he's like, going through all the tests now. Is the wires connected at the back? Is there light flashing? Do you have the button pressed? Da, da, da. He goes, do you have a filter coming from the master socket? And I was like, yes. He goes, did you get two filters in the pack? And I was like, yes. He goes, would you mind switching the filters? Right. So I run down, get the other filter. I go up. I'm not even thinking. I'm just doing what he fucking tells me to do. He goes, would you like to replace the filter? And as I fucking put, I'm like, yep, I'll replace the filter now. And then I just pull it out of the wall and the phone goes dead. Boop. And I'm like, oh, Colin, you silly bitch. I wasn't even thinking. He's like, can you swap it? And I swapped it. Boop. Dead. I was like, I've just been on the phone for 18 fucking minutes. I've had to fucking try and do this again. Luckily, he'd taken my mobile number. So the mobile rang and he's like, hello, Mr. Carlin. I was like, hello, thank fuck. And he's like, did it work? And I was like, nah, it's still the same. Okay, we'll do another, just running some tests. And then he would wait for another 15 minutes on the phone. Without putting on hold too, you know, just like, everyone going nuts in the background. Right? Runs a test. Okay, there's a problem at the exchange. And I was like, well, I could have fucking told you that from the word go here. I know there's a problem. And then he goes, okay, so we will book an engineer for you to come out to the house. No sweat, mate. Go ahead. And you know those ones where it's like, he's clearly got a script and he's saying shit he doesn't need to. So he's like, we're going to book today we're going to book an engineer for you. No problem, book the engineer. The reason we're booking an engineer is because you expressed a problem with the line. Yes, mate. I know. Just give me the fucking engineer. Okay, and because your internet is not working, you will require an engineer to come and fix it. Yes, I know that. Right? Is Friday okay for you? Yes, Friday's good. Between 8 a.m. and 1 p.m. Yep. That means he will be available in the house for a call of the... Yes! Just send the guy out. Right? Send him out. So, I'm like talking away to him. He goes, okay, just some standard questions. He goes, do we have any access problems to the property? And I was like, what do you mean access problems? He goes, is there any gates or animals? And I was like, no, there's a gate like, but it'll probably be open. Is there an electric gate? Nope. Do you live in an apartment or house? It's a house. And it just goes on and on. And he goes, do you have any dogs or wild animals? And I was like, excuse me? Dogs or wild animals? And I was like, what? I was like, no dogs. Is there any wild animals? And I was like, what the fuck do you mean wild animal? I've seen a rabbit, like. I've seen a rabbit in the garden the other day. And he's like, oh, no. Because this is where we have, it is a mandatory field where we have to ask if there is any wild animals. And I was like, why the fuck? I was like, who the fuck is wild animals? And I swear to God, he goes, It's because one time one of our BT engineers was eaten by a panther. I said, what? And he goes, yes, one of the engineers was killed by a panther. The customer had a pet panther and they killed the man. Now, at this point, I'm fucking, like, Maureen's standing beside me in, like, a dressing gown. And I'm, like, frisking her like a fucking, like, I work at the airport. Like, trying to find her phone. I was like, give me your phone. Pissing myself laughing, trying to get this recorded. It was fucking hilarious. It was eaten by a panther. Of all the shit I thought he was going to say, that was not one of them. Eaten by a fucking panther. Unbelievable. Nearly fucking pissed myself. If he had a scent, it was mauled to death by a tiger. That wouldn't have been as funny as him saying he was murdered by a panther. And I felt like going, yeah, I don't think that happened in Northern Ireland, my friend. You know? I don't think... The equivalent over here would be like, his ankle was viciously attacked by a Yorkshire Terrier. No one's rocking a panther in fucking Northern Ireland, you lunatic. Oh. So, what else has happened to me recently? Friday night, got pished, went watched the Ulster match. We haven't watched a rugby match in a while. Sitting with a pile of people who've never played rugby ever, shouting at the fucking screen. I'm like, yeah, I played rugby for quite a long time there, and don't really give a shit. But that night, oh my god, so funny. I'm going to drop it in, right? I don't know if you'll find it funny or not. What are we at there? 26 men's-ish. I'm going to drop that in. My sister rang on Friday night, right? And the phone signal down here is a bit shit, along with the internet and all the other signals. So we come home, we bit pished. Not steaming though, but just knocking about the house, watched some TV, went to bed. My sister texts in typical fashion. My ma used to do that too. She would text you, phone me immediately, and you're like, fuck, you run and try and, hello? And then she's like, DA, are you here for dinner? And you're like, that wasn't as urgent as you made it seem there. My sister's the same. Ring me, please. I fucking ring. I only get through for about 2 seconds. She's like, help me. And I'm like, what the fuck? Boop, phone goes dead. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. Ring back. Hello? And I'm like, what's wrong? And she goes, I'm just here. And there's some fella that she's going out with. Is this guy's being sick? And I'm like, right. Now she has this like fear of vomit. But you're like, so you're not being rape murdered like this fucking text would suggest? No, he's just in the bathroom being sick. And she's like crying. And I'm like, what's going on here? Now, I basically, after that, I didn't give a shit. I was like, are you okay? She's like, yeah, he's being sick. And I was like, right, well, fuck that then. So the phone cut off and I was like, ah, fuck it, she'll be all right. and then she rang back, right? And she was talking such shit that Maureen was lying beside me. And I was like, film this, right? And she started filming this fucking conversation that I was having with my sister, which I'm actually going to drop the audio in. She's completely steaming and she's just like, yes, babes and all. He's in there vomiting and all this here shit. Do you know what? I'm going to put it in. It's probably not that funny, but I'll stick it in right now at fucking 28 minutes. Listen to this fucking crazy bitch, right? Here we go.
Come and pick me up now.
What were you drinking?
I can hear the toilet flushing.
What was he?
Bombed all over the shop.
What was he? What was he drinking? So he had 3 Mai Tais and he barfed?
3 Mai Tais and I've had half a bottle of Havana rum and echo, right?
You had half a bottle of Havana...
From a belated birthday.
Belated? Here, did you have half a bottle of...
Havana rum.
Yeah, but you know what Hill says we can drink, right? This boy from Hillsborough cannot drink, babes.
He can't drink, babes.
this bar in Hillsborough was dead. Right?
What was the bar called?
I was like, let's go into Bar Retro.
Right. Oyster Festival?
No, legit. Oyster Festival. Rachel's I'm like, oh yeah, I've been bowling with Hudson for 7 years. I can do the cartwheel. I'm in a pencil shirt. And a crop top from Top Shop. Right?
A crop top from Top Shop?
Yes. Rachel's doing full, big wheels keep on turning with the, 30 times. He's bombing up the stairs because his parents are in Croatia.
He's vomiting up the stairs because his parents are in Croatia.
I'm in Hillsborough. And his parents are in Croatia. And we're in Hillsborough.
You're in a crop top from Top Shop?
Yes, and he keeps calling Tasha a big stick. Alright, big stick. Right?
What? He calls him what?
Big stick.
Big stick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have half a bottle of Havana.
Havana what?
Gay John got me a belated bottle of birthday rum from. Hold on, I think he's technically dead. Adam! Where are you? Come here, Adam!
Is he reading the Bible?
To talk to you.
Is he reading the Bible in the toilet?
Don't need him. Here, Adam! Call him wants to talk to you. Is he vomited? Don't
vomit.
He's coming
near me,
wiping his mouth. Don't vomit.
Hello, Colin.
Hey, Adam. How are you?
All good. I trust you. I promise you. I'm fine now.
Okay.
Yeah, I just washed my hands, Rachel, I promise I just washed my hands. I promise you. I just washed my hands. I'm fine.
Here, yes, mate. Here, what were you drinking tonight? Rachel said you had 2.5 shandies and you barfed everywhere.
Why is up? Come on now. Flip's sake.
What were you drinking?
Flip me. He said, basically, I had 2.5 shandies. I barfed everywhere.
Rachel said you had half a shot of baby sham and you were vomiting out your nose. Rachel said you had half a tin of a Bass Shandy and you shit yourself.
I'm joking, obviously. I know when your brother on the front. Right, okay. Rachel wants toast now because she's hungry.
Okay. You should have some toast too, mate.
Everywhere. She's freaking out, but I shall want toast. I know. We're ready to go.
Yeah, still there. Yeah.
Honestly, Colin, I promise you, right? Rachel, toast, and I'm not gonna vomit again. How's that sound?
Listen, if you can promise toast, I don't care about the vomit.
I don't care. By the way, I promise you, right? Do you remember that night on the 1st of July that I got a selfie of you? I was like, Colin, can we grab a selfie?
No, I don't remember. Probably. Where was it?
And by the way, I'm very disappointed that you didn't like our relationship status there on Facebook. That would put us up to 90, and you know what I mean? 89. We're sitting at 89 there at the minute, and you know the way 90 would have been a nice sort of... Yeah, Maureen would have been nice too, you know what I mean? 91 would have been really cool.
Maureen doesn't approve, though. She said, you're too good for Rachel, that's what she said.
That's brilliant,
You're on speakerphone. You've been on the whole time. Don't worry about it.
Oh, fantastic.
Hello. Maureen. It's me.
Maureen, how are things?
Hey, great. We're in bed right now listening to you two. It's great. What? Hello?
Yeah, Rachel.
Maureen,
yeah. Adam just bombed everywhere and I'm sitting beside him. Could you believe it?
Well, did you? And you're still alive?
Oh my. And I'm hungry.
Oh my god, you're hungry after all that?
Eat the vomit.
Scotland shop.
There you go, did you enjoy that shit? Don't know if it was funny, don't know if there was even any point in doing it, but there you go. Let me see. So that happened, basically. By the way, I watched this documentary the other day called Tig. If you've got Netflix and you have any interest in comedy, there's a woman... who I've seen her before, like on various things. She's very funny, like, but she, you just have to watch this documentary. I knew there was some story going on where, like, she was diagnosed with cancer and she went on stage that night, and it was some gig where, like, Louis C.K. and Bill Burr and all were there. And Louis C.K. was like, oh, you still have to record this or something, and he recorded it, and it turned out to be one of these, like, iconic fucking comedy sets where this woman just talked about... Her name's Tig Notaro. Like, she was talking about being diagnosed with cancer and all this other shit that was going on in her life. And then Louis C.K. put it up on his website, which he does with his own specials, and he put it up on his site to sell. And it sold, like, fucking... millions, not millions, I think it sold about 75,000 fucking albums or something, and she said he was, Louis C.K. was just emailing her, like, all the time, all these updates, like, 25,000, you know, 50,000, 75, and she kind of became famous and was getting a lot of fucking coverage, and the documentary basically tells her about how she was sick and this album went on sale and she went through treatment and operations and stuff. And then, basically, she was getting all these interviews and whatever on Conan and all this shit. And then she was basically famous by the time she got back out. But all of her set was on this fucking recording. So she had to basically try and write some new jokes before the anniversary show of this sort of cancer show that she did. Very interesting. But you want to hear the shit she went through? It was unreal. It was like, there's some stomach thing called C. diff. So she had that, which nearly fucking killed her, and she's like, wee skinny woman anyway. Strangely enough, looks a lot like Chris Kent. So yeah, she was like sick, and then yeah, she had that, got better. Her mum died of something like horrendously fucking.
What her mum die of?
Oh, I just fell over, basically. Died. And then she got diagnosed with cancer. And it was just this insane fucking story. And then her trying to fucking... Because she was a lesbian. Like, trying to have a surrogate parent to have her baby with one of her embryos. Which she could only get if she retook hormones. Which... Like, hormones were the things that the cancer was feeding on. All this shit. Insane. Give it a watch, anyway. Funny story. I'm dying to hear the live fucking one from Louis C.K.'s website that actually happened that night. Might fucking look into it. Huh? Right, well, we'll move on with some fucking news here. What's going on? Immigrants everywhere. Or refugees. As they probably should be called. I love the way they all turn up in Germany and they're all sitting waving to each other. I love that. Everyone's like, oh God. I did see... do you know what? It's one of these things where, like... I keep seeing... You know, the internet is... The internet! The internet's just fucking full of just war. You know what I mean? People going back and forward and, you know, trying to one-up people on different stuff. You know, I seen a map and it was like you know, all these Syrian fucking refugees, which is like, listen, I wouldn't want to fucking be in Syria either. It's a fucking shitbox. But anyway, you got like, oh, my back. You got like a picture or a map where it was like, here's Syria. And there was an arrow going from there to like Germany. And around it was like, all the other countries had the word no war. It was like, no war. In all the surrounding countries. And it was like, why are they going the whole way to fucking Germany when none of these other countries have war in them? Why can't they just go there? It's crazy. I don't know what the fucking, I don't know how to fucking deal with it, to be honest. But I just love, you know, all those websites like Britain First and Islam Uncovered and, you know, all these anti-Islamic fucking whatever. And it's, you know, they're just finding any reason to be like, you know, they showed a picture of a bus in Germany and they were like, this is the thanks that the bus company got for taking immigrants from wherever, from Austria to Germany. And it shows you a bus like that's messy, you know what I mean? It's like covered in fucking bits of rubbish and sort of half like pillows people were trying to sleep on and, you know, just general mess that you would get. But you're like, yeah, there was probably like 200 people on that fucking bus that's only supposed to hold about 50. You know what I'm saying? Oh, they've got babies and all that. Oh, there's packets of nappies lying there, is there? Not used nappies, just packets of nappies. And you're like, yeah, maybe because they have children with them. And they were just desperate to get off. It's like, oh, there you go, guys. We brought you to Germany. If you could just spend 10 minutes with this thing here and just clean the bus up when you're in a mad sprint for wherever the fuck you're going. Strange. And then there was another photo put up and I was like, yeah, check this out. Here's a train station in fucking Germany. And they're like, where's all the women and children? These are all men of a certain age, of working, fighting age or something. And you're like, so like, well, what is that? What are you trying to say here? There's supposed to be like a refugee/immigrant crisis, but you're going, oh, well, it's just men. Where's all these fucking women and children you keep going on about? I don't know. Strange. I'm not there. You can barely fucking, you don't know what the fuck's going on. It is bizarre though. And then I seen another picture where it was like everyone's getting fucking crazy about, you know, everyone's getting crazy about these kids washing up on the fucking shore. Which, don't get me wrong, makes you want to barf, but, you know, someone put it side by side with a picture. It was like, how come everyone's cracking up about this picture, but no one's cracking up about this other picture, which was a fucking beheaded child? And they're like, this kid was beheaded by ISIS. I don't know, it's just the well just gets fucking deeper and deeper. Why is there ISIS? Probably as a backlash to having your countries fucking swooped in on by America, destroying the fucking place. That's literally that's where ISIS comes from, I'm sure. You know, it's crazy. Where does it end? I don't know anything about anything. Anyway, let's move on to these questions, because I put questions up late at night last night, and there was tons of them. Let's fucking do it, because I'm sure there's some sweet questions in here that might be relevant. Let me see. What the fuck, bro? Jesus Christ. Where do these start? Tiernan Daly, here's a fucking legit question. Would you open your house to Syrian refugees? That's the question, isn't it? You know, people, if you're looking at people's views on immigration and, you know, refugee crises, etc., that's the question. Would you fucking let a family stay in your house? I don't know. Do you know what? I probably would, but like everything, you know, I have problems with letting my mates stay in my house for longer than about 2 days. But I suppose, do you know what? What there should be is maybe some sort of incentive type thing. Not incentive, but like aid. I don't know. It is a fucking tough question. Because it's like, you know, there aren't going to be enough people taking people into houses. So it's like, I suppose if there was like a woman, the ideal situation would be like there was a young family that had young kids. That would be, and you'd be like, yeah, come on in. Yeah, I think that would probably be, I probably would, yeah. I don't know how to go about fucking doing it, to be honest with you, but that's strange. I don't know what the difference is between the ones at Calais trying to get in and these other Syrian refugees that are going to Germany. Because I spoke about this last week, but I remember seeing the girl at Calais giving off, like, listen, I'm fucking, you know, I don't know where she was from. Full burqa / hijab going on there. Giving off like, listen, I'm fucking pregnant here, so Cameron better get his fucking act together so that I can get in this country and have a fucking baby and sweet healthcare. Get the fucking, the finger out, mate. And it was a bit like, whoa, will you fucking relax there, pet? Unreal. You know, I don't have a house. When am I going to get my fucking house sorted for this baby? Strange. Bunter lad, Benji Hunter. Best Ulster match you've been to? Well, I'll be honest with you, mate, I'm not even that big a fan of rugby, even though I played it for a long time. I've been to a few Ulster matches. Best one I was at, probably atmosphere-wise, was one where we knew a guy at the time who was within our circle of mates who got starting for Ulster and he scored on his first match and everyone went fucking nuts. They don't know who he plays for now, like, but just because you knew someone playing, the atmosphere seemed better. I always find sports is kind of like, the atmosphere's good, but actually watching the fucking thing, you're better doing it on TV. Chris McCulloch. If you had to be stuck on a desert island for a year, what three people would you take? I don't know, probably girlfriend Maureen. Actually, I don't even know if I'd bring her, because she'd be a fucking nightmare. I can't sleep, really? You're on a desert island? It's too warm here. Do you want to help me collect stuff for a fire? I would, but I just sort of cut my finger a bit here yesterday. All right. I don't know, who would it be? Bear Grylls. And then two slots. How did the Iron Fighter 6 launch go in Stiff Kitten a few years ago? And that's from James McCauley. Any good stories from that night? I'll be honest with you, I don't know where to start or go into it or whatever, but the way I started in comedy and whatever was strange as shit. Very strange. You know, most people get to do open mics and fucking die in their hole. For a while, and then gradually gain notoriety because those videos were, you know, very popular at the time. It was like trying to do stand up in the middle of that was fucking insane. And I knew nothing about gigging or promotion or how to handle yourself or how to manage your own gigs and stuff like that. So everything just became a fucking, just this, everything was new to me, like, oh yeah, let's do that. And it was the time where we were doing like podcast, the Audio Picnic podcast with Rick Crullers from Panic Dots, and he booked it, and it was one of those things where, like, this is back when Facebook, you know, you didn't need to pay for fucking ads and all that shit, so the word spread, and it went quite well. I'm pretty sure, if I think back to it now, I'm like, I don't know if anyone made any money out of that, and it was fucking jammed. Now, I could be fucking just being a fucking idiot and being lied to. But again, it was just because the whole fucking thing was so new. It was like, Rick booked it and was like, oh yeah, do you want to do this? And I'm going to have to get a fucking PA put in and book these bands and pay them and all this shit. So I don't even know if any fucking money was made by the end of it. Now, I could be a fucking idiot and they were all running around fucking loaded. But it's just one of those things where it was like surreal as fuck. You're like, oh yeah, we're going to put this gig on. Yeah, why not? Let's screen it, sure. Made the last one. You know, fucking... You know, we like... It was just weird. Turn up and we're like, holy fuck, this place is packed. So many people. There was two bands playing, More Than Conquerors and... Who I think are sadly breaking up. And in fact, More Than Conquerors, I think, are doing their farewell gig. Let me just check that. They're doing like a last sort of farewell gig at Mandela Hall. Let me just see. More Than Conquerors. Verified, lads. Hey? You fucking savages. Verified as fuck. Hold on. Let me just see if I can... Where is it? Yeah. Yeah, the bands are More Than Conquerors and Ram's Pocket Radio. Belfast Mandela Hall, October 2nd. More Than Conquerors play their final gig. Which is a shame, because they're fucking pretty badass. So there you go. Go check them out. 5,000 likes on Facebook. There you go. Yeah, they both played at the at that gig. And then Mickey and Shane did a bit of stand-up, which was brave in front of that many fucking people, which is kind of... God, I'm seeing. And then, yeah, I don't know. I didn't really do stand-up. I didn't do stand-up at the time. I didn't know how to do it. I introduced a video, fucking took a million photos with a fucking load of cunts. And it was just weird. I don't really remember anything other than that. But anyway, that was it. No interesting stories, really. I honestly can't remember. Probably just got blocked after it. Took a lot of fucking Jaeger bombs. In fact, that is what happened. Took a lot of fucking Jaeger bombs. I don't even think Dan Watson went to it, did he? Fucking weirdo. Dan didn't go to any of those things. You know what I mean? You're in one of the most popular videos in the country at the time. And you're like, oh, do you want to turn up at this thing and show our video? Or do you want to do stand-up or it? Nah. It's gonna stay here if you want to bring me back the money, thanks. On a different note, Roberto Wilson, what's the best sauce to serve with liver? I've never eaten liver, mate, just by itself, so I'm not sure. I don't know. I might try liver, though. It's probably the type of dirty shit that I would actually enjoy eating. That's not the guy I used to live with, is it? Let me just click it. No, it's a different guy. Where are we here? Mac at S. McPhee, 1882. Do you think Biff from Back to the Future would beat Barry the Blender in a punch-up, or would Barry spark him out? Who the fuck is Biff from Back in the Future? Google. Back to the Future. Back in the Future. Have you seen Back in the Future? Biff. Back to the Future. Oh, that cunt. Yeah, he's one of those movie bad boys that like would just get his fucking shit kicked in real life. I hate that. You know those things the guy's like tapping his hand like, what are you doing around here at this time of night? You're like, fuck up. Come here with your leather jacket and your fingerless gloves. Did I fucking punch the cunt out of you? Hey, man, you want to fucking go? I'll go. How about I fucking just put my knee on your neck and elbow you till you die? Huh? That'll be cool, won't it? With your fucking, like, metal t-shirt. Metal, bro. I listen to metal, I'm hard. I fucking pull your head off. Not in a sexual way, of course. Maybe in a in a sexual way. How about that? I'll fucking hold you down, give you a wank. I'm a fucking movie bad guy. I slick my hair. I'm chewing a fucking toothpick. I must be hard as shit. Yeah, hard as shit, this fucking guillotine bitch. Chokeslam me through a fucking bus stop. See if you can bad boy your way out of that. Huh? Sitting there in a BMX. These are all bad guys that I've seen in the movie E.T. What city would you live in around the world if you had the chance? And that's from Dan. Is that Daniel in Irish? I didn't learn much Irish at school, I'll be honest with you. What city would you live in? New York, probably. You know? Do some stand-up. But then again, I know a guy that's in New York, and I've been talking to him the odd time, and he's like, it's a fucking nightmare. Do stand-up in New York, you end up paying to play and all this shit. Crazy. Let me see. Susan Boyle, Maggie Smith, Madonna, Snog, Marry, Avoid. Who's Maggie Smith? I'm going to have to look that up now. Probably some important fucking politician that I have no idea about. Oh, Maggie Smith, the actress. Okay. Avoid Susan Boyle, for sure. Marry that outlaw, because she'll probably be dead pretty soon. And Madonna, it says snog there. I'd definitely bang her, but I'm not sure if I would kiss her in the mouth. Just kick her down some stairs for the fun of it, because she's good at it. Let me see. Talk us through how you got that £4 gammon on your Instagram looking like that. It looked unreal. That's from Johnny Maxwell. Let me tell you some fucking lessons about ham up in this piece. If anyone goes on my Instagram, there's a fucking gammon that I got. Here's the crack. This house we moved into, we're basically slowly but surely doing it up. And it was such a old school house, like, and there's an old fucking cooker, which I don't know how to even work the fucking oven, to be honest with you. Just not sure how to do it yet. Probably have to download some instructions for an old fucking cooker. How ridiculous is that? But what you would do normally is you boil a ham and then you take it out, you sort of let it cool, and then you cover it in like honey and shit, and then you put it in the oven and you let it go all sticky and shit like that. I didn't know how to use the fucking oven, and we bought this £4 gammon. So I boiled the shit out of that, took it out of the water, set it down, cut the fat off it, scored it all up, little crisscrosses, and then I was like, right, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to fucking put this in a pan. By the way, pretty sure I destroyed the pan. No, actually, the pan was alright. Take that back. Get a good non-stick pan, guys. And I just took, obviously the gammon starts in a circle, but as it cooked, it sort of opened out into this longer, almost like a, if you can imagine the shape of like a rasher of bacon, but way deeper. So I scored it up, and you know what I did? I just put the honey and brown sugar in the pan, and I just heated it up till it was starting to bubble, and then I just set the fucking thing in it. Just turn it on either side. You know what I mean? It was going black, which is what you want. Not burnt, but eventually it sort of goes black. Just gradually turn it over until the whole thing was completely covered and looked all black. And then I took it out. And because there was so much fucking sugar on it, this isn't great for you either. Just let it go cool so that the outside was almost like a bit crispy. And cut in the really thin slices. And it was gone in seconds. Because we came home steaming the next day. And I made the mistake of leaving it out. And everyone just went through it like a fucking pack of piranhas. So there you go, Johnny Maxwell. Enjoy that shit. There's your tips. Be careful. Don't do it in an enclosed fucking space. Like a flat. Because the smoke will fucking set off your thing. And then you'll be, you know, outside with all the other cunts from your apartment block. Dylan McCrudden, may I suggest you get a Snapchat so we can all share dick pics? Mate, I'm gonna go and get a fucking go revert back to the iPhone today. So there you go, mate. Imagine. I might get a Snapchat. See if I can finally work this shit. Chris McMenamin, or I need to rattle through these because there's so fucking many of them. Any experience of dealing with fellas with short man syndrome? Seems to be becoming more common. It's the height of ignorance. Yeah, there is that wee man syndrome, isn't there? But then there's also that sort of I'm a big bully of a lad type setup too. Yeah, I remember I actually did a gig, remember the gig I was telling you about last week with Colin Murphy? And I'm going to go ahead and say it. There's been about 4 gigs in my life where I blew the dick clean off it. That was one of them. You know, I'm not walking around all the time going, dude, fucking killed that. Because most of the gigs I'm not happy with. However, that one, I was like, yep, take that. That's that new shit there, Murph. Check it out. Talk about dicks for 20 minutes. And they loved it. Right, let's hit these fucking questions. Right, here we go. Favourite and least favourite public toilets in Belfast and why? That's from Terence Patrick, a big toilet fan. I'm trying to think what toilets I've been in where I was like, Jesus Christ, these are nice. I was at a Channel 4 pitch meeting thing in the Merchant and went to their toilets and I was like, I would happily, if this was my apartment, I'd be like, this is a flashy apartment here. I could shit in here, no bother. I'll tell you what one of the worst toilets is I've ever seen. Starbucks, Lisburn Road. The one around the corner from Queens. Went in there once, there was a guy taking a piss. I went into the cubicle and I was like, what happened here? Did you like go to take a shit and it came out of your arse before you sat down and then you slipped on a banana skin and just smeared it everywhere? Is that what happened? Brutal. I pissed it all off though. Tina Devaney. Have you been watching, in brackets, kind of, Celebrity Big Brother? Yeah, I have. Because girlfriend Maureen watches it and I sit there like, I was just like, what? It's like, I don't, it automatically makes you feel stressed out because people are arguing in the background. And that stupid cunt, Farrah fucking, what's her name? Farrah Abraham. Who I know is a porn tape, so I'm just gonna fucking type porn tape after that. See if we can get any sweet pics. She did it the right way, you know what I mean? You don't leak a sex tape, you hire famous porn star James Dean to absolutely empty out in HD with her weird fake tits and fake arse and lips. There she is there, big old glazed like a donut face. So she does that thing which Americans, she does that thing like Americans do where it's like, if I'm not going to win the argument, so I'm just going to keep talking. I'm going to keep talking. I'm talking over you. I'm just going to keep saying, you're a fucking asshole. You're a fucking asshole. You're an asshole. Shut your fucking face. You goddamn loser. You're an asshole. And you're like, you didn't say anything at all there. You just shouted louder than the other person. Doesn't, you know, it's like you didn't win an argument. It wasn't a real argument. It was just you talking complete shite there. I can't watch it, honestly. It makes me want to fucking die. But, and then you just get the, you know, just like your guy that was on the bill. You're like, mate, what are you even doing there? Unbelievable. It's just complete dog shit. Right, let's rattle through these. Fuck's sake. And also, what's your woman, Janice, something? Eat a sandwich, for the love of fuck. Do you ever mix your whiskey like some sort of heathen? Hopefully not with good scotch. I don't really like scotch, to be honest with you. I'll drink some of it, but usually when I'm already blocked. You know, I'm not sitting down going, taste this fucking what tastes like regular whiskey with someone put a fucking cigar out in it. Nah, I would never, if it was, you can't, the only whiskey you can mix is like Jack Daniels, because it's not even real whiskey. It's like children's whiskey. But, you know, if you're spending like 25 quid plus on a bottle of fucking whatever, you don't, what are you going to do, put Coke in it? Oh, I love fucking Johnny Walker Black Label. Gives a fucking Pepsi for the top of it. You can't really get on like that. However, people, you know, the real hardcore cunts would tell you that you just drink whiskey as it is, you know what I mean? Raw. Room temperature. But I just like cold drinks. You know what I'm saying? So like, I'd rather have a fucking thing full of ice and just drip a little bit of whiskey into it at a time, so that when I'm drinking the whiskey, it's cold. I just like cold drinks. I don't really like letting it melt into it. What I should do is just put the whiskey in the fucking fridge, maybe. I don't know. But also, I'm not. You see, I will drink scotch if I'm blocked. But it's not my go-to fucking drink. I could drink, like, fucking Jameson's for breakfast, but some of those scotches are, like, fucking, a little bit pubes on your hairs on your chest. Danny Williams, do you ever not get taken seriously at jiu-jitsu, being a, in quotes, bigger fella, asking as I want to be a personal trainer, but my tits wobble when I brush my teeth? Pep talk. I think when you're a personal trainer, you kind of have to lead by example, don't you? You want to get your fucking, you want to get taught how to lift weights and shit by the cunt who is in tremendous nick. Or if you, unless you have like a before and after, we go, this is what I used to look like and this is what I look like now. I can do that to you too, Sally, you fat bitch. Do you ever get taken seriously? Hold on, who's this? Maureen, come to a podcast. Look at this soundproofing I have going on. Come here, what are you doing? Come here. This is a funny question. Close that door. Don't sit in for a minute. Maureen's just awake. Ha ha. Alright, let me stop it and do it.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.